Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power, and boy, we're going to show it to you today. And yes, I mean that with the utmost sincerity. You know that this show is dedicated to making you aware of options, alternatives, informing you about everything from how to cook salmon 47,000 different ways to the latest developments in science. Whatever I'm able to put together, that's what we're going to bring to the Donna Sebo Show. Well, today we have a fascinating guest, and I am just absolutely delighted to have Maureen Caudill, because Maureen, who is a person trained in physics, has written a book, Suddenly Psychic. Maureen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Now, I'd like to ask you, where are you located right now?
I'm in North Carolina, in Greensboro.
Oh, that's a gorgeous area. Greensboro, just one of my favorite places. Maureen, you have degrees, not a degree, but you have more than one degree in physics from UConn and Cornell. You, for more than 20 years, someone could have put you in the classification of being a nerd, and you would have fit in just beautifully. You were a computer scientist specializing in artificial intelligence and neural networks. You were about as left brain as a left brain could get. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So
techie nerd would be a better term, actually.
What is it?
A techie nerd, to be more specific. Not just a nerd, but a techie nerd.
A techie nerd. We want to make sure we have the absolutely correct descriptions here. So here we have a techie nerd who in six days, has her whole life tumbled and turned, and all of a sudden, the right side of the brain activates, and you go, I wonder, this is different. Maureen, you have a wonderful story to share, and it started because of a friend, and you say it was with kicking and screaming and gnashing of teeth. You didn't want to even get close to anything that you were to experience. What happened, and where did this phenomenal shift occur?
Well, I decided on a whim, not really quite understanding what it was I had decided to do. I decided to take a one-week retreat from my job at the Monroe Institute in Faber, Virginia. That's about half an hour south of Charlottesville. It's a beautiful organization up in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, I didn't really know why I signed up for it. Had never met anyone who'd ever been to the Monroe Institute, or TMI as it's called. Had no real clear idea of what the program was, but something about the program, I just seemed like this would be a great place to get away, because it was one of those programs where from Saturday afternoon until Friday morning, there would be no radio, no television, no newspapers, no magazines. It was really a retreat. So that's what I decided to do. And when I got there, the first thing that happens on Saturday afternoon while people are kind of gathering is one of the two trainers will take each person aside and do what's called an intake interview. In my intake interview, almost the first thing the trainer said was, now, don't be surprised if you don't go out of body, because not everybody goes out of body during this gateway program. Yes, well, that was sort of my reaction, too. So out of your body?
Oh, yes.
Oh my.
This is an interesting retreat, right?
Yes, I thought I had walked down the wrong rabbit hole.
Yes, absolutely.
And then at dinner that night, right after dinner, which is sort of the start of the program, the first thing that happens is we all gather in a big room, and they go around the room and introduce yourselves as to who you are, why you're there, and what you do. And I realized, as I listened to person after person introduce themselves, that I was virtually the only techie nerd there, that everyone else was a healer, a shaman, a mystic, a psychic, a reader of something. They were all really new age types. And that's the point, I think, where I started wondering if I could get my money back or go hide out in a motel in Charlottesville or something until my plane ride to take me back to Southern California. So that was really a shock. I really honestly felt like I had just stepped down a rabbit hole and things were going to be really strange. What is surprising to me was that within 48 hours of that first introductory session, I had had enough strange things that I had personally done to realize that it wasn't just me, that I had perhaps come to the right place after all, because I was doing some very strange things and had no explanation for how they worked or why.
What were some of your first experiences, Maureen?
One thing that surprised me, and it was sort of a low-level thing that went on all week, was that I was precognitive. In other words, one of the things the trainers do on the Gateway program is they really shield participants from knowing what's about to happen. They actually take your watches away, for example, and you're given no schedule. There is a very precise schedule, but only the trainers know it, and they won't tell you what's going to happen next or when. You discover the process as you go through the week.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew what we were going to do next. I didn't always believe what we were going to do next, because it seemed so strange, but I always knew what the next exercise was going to be before it happened and before they explained it. Then on Monday evening, one of the exercises was a remote viewing exercise, actually two. Remote viewing is the art of being able to be given a blind target, usually in a sealed envelope with a picture or a description of what the target is, and you describe what's at that target, even though you don't know where the target is.
Mm-hmm.
The way they worked at Gateway was for the first target, they put a set of latitude and longitude coordinates on a flip chart and said, okay, describe what's there. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not exactly a cartographer or a pilot, and the latitude and longitude didn't mean much to me. But I not only was able to name the target, I actually named the specific building at that latitude and longitude and sketched out a picture of it from two different angles, which exactly corresponded to the two angles of the two photographs that we were shown when they told us what the target really was. I almost fell out of my chair when they revealed what the target was. That was just mind-blowing.
Now, when this happened to you, let me stop you for just a moment. Mm-hmm. Here you are. You are experiencing this. It is verified that you have this capability, and they're saying you've done it exactly correct. How did you work with that in your mind? How were you able to be comfortable with that? Or were you?
Well, that's the problem. I wasn't comfortable with it. I could not explain it. And as the week went on and events just got stranger and stranger, and I started doing all kinds of psychic skills, not all of them equally well, but, I connected with my best friend's dead mom. I got messages from the beyond. I was doing remote healing and had it later verified at the end of the week when I got back home that I had, in fact, accomplished something positive. All of those were just flatly impossible. So the problem that I had is that having been spent an entire lifetime in the scientific materialism worldview, that if you can't measure it and touch it and put it on a scale, it doesn't exist, suddenly to find myself doing things that were flatly contradictory to that worldview and knowing that I hadn't faked it. This wasn't me watching someone else do something. It was me doing it myself. And since I had done it, I knew that I hadn't faked it. It wasn't a hoax. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't somebody pulling wool over my eyes. It was something I had personally done. And that is the key to what Gateway was to me, because it gave me solid proof that if you do it yourself, then it's incontrovertible. You know that it's true. And,
mm-hmm.
and therefore, there has to be a way to reconcile what this experiential data tells you with the scientific theories that apparently contradict that. And that's sort of what my book, Suddenly Psychic, is about. It's about trying to reconcile the weird stuff that's happening to me with the science that has been a part of my life virtually since I was a kid.
Part of the experience that you went through at the Institute was working with frequencies. And you describe in your book how there are levels that you can go through in training. And for whatever reason, because this is something totally, totally foreign to you. I mean, this wasn't even something that you feel like you had programmed in, although obviously it was the place for you to be. You were in the right place at the right time with the right people in the right environment where people could answer your questions, where people would be supportive of you, which I thought was just fabulous. And I am aware of the Monroe Institute. I had a very dear friend who went there to try to have an out-of-body experience and was totally discouraged and disgusted when she couldn't have it. I get such a kick out of her every time she talks about it. She feels that she's just too stubborn. It's never going to happen. But anyway, what did fascinate me is how they are willing to go through various levels of training with you and monitor you and keep you stabilized, because this is something that's very much a physiological as well as associated with so many different levels of thinking, and it can happen so quickly like it happened to you. And I'm so glad you had the support around you, because I've known people that have gone through experiences like this and they don't have any support and they think they're nuts. In your book you said 50 years ago they would have called you a psychotic.
Exactly. And in fact, I've now been to almost a dozen different TMI programs. Some of them I've been to more than once because they're real favorites. But, I also had the experience. I went through a Kundalini awakening. And when it first started, I didn't know what was happening to me, and I was half convinced I'd gone psychotic.
All right, now explain what the Kundalini is. There are so many in my audience that are familiar with this, but for those who are not, tell us what that was, because that is something that's often tossed about like a piece of popcorn, and people just don't understand what it is, because it does deal with your energy centers in your body, and when it's awakened, it's described often as a snake. Tell us what your experience was.
Well, Kundalini is the life energy in the Hindu tradition. And what my experience with it was that it was a huge flow of energy going all the way through my body, up my body, around through my body. I felt like I was a quasar, like I was this huge broadcaster of energy. I was just spewing out energy constantly, 24 hours a day, all the time. I was literally disturbing, at the time I was living in Southern California, I was literally disturbing friends who lived in Canada, in Toronto, and in North Carolina. I mean, I was disturbing friends all across the country because I was spewing energy constantly, all the time.
How was it disturbing them?
They would just feel me kind of energetically blasting at them. And it disturbed me because I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sit still, I couldn't concentrate worth anything, which is really very unusual for me. I'm usually very focused. I couldn't settle down, I couldn't stop the energy. I was just a complete wreck. And it took about a week or 10 days before my friend in Canada suggested, maybe you're undergoing a Kundalini thing. Well, by that time I had been through the trainer program at TMI and was a certified and accredited trainer for them. And I remembered that during the training program we'd had a discussion in some scientific articles to read about Kundalini. But because I didn't know what Kundalini was, it didn't mean anything at the time. I went back and pulled out those articles and reread them and recognized every symptom I was having was part of what had been described as Kundalini awakening. This is an unrequested, spontaneous Kundalini awakening as opposed to one where people were deliberately trying to produce it and therefore were more prepared for it. The result of that was once I knew what was happening, I had something to hang my hat on, and with the help of again, friends, I was able eventually to get control of the energy and to stop it. And that, the final result, it took about 2 months to get through the controlling issues and to the point where I could turn the energy on and turn the energy off. But when I was finally done, my ability to handle large-scale energy was just increased by probably several orders of magnitude. It just hugely blasted open barriers that had existed before. It didn't change the types of skills. It only changed how much power and energy I could apply to those skills.
My guest today is Maureen Caudill, suddenly psychic, and this is not an exaggeration. She goes to the Monroe Institute. She finds in 6 days her life is totally turned around. She learns that she's extremely capable and very talented psychically. And so here she is with all of this. Part of what you went through at the Monroe Institute was dealing with binaural beats. Tell us how those were discovered 100 years ago and how this is incorporated into this, because it's a rhythm.
Right. Well, I'm sure everyone's aware that the brain puts out frequency patterns. And if you've ever been in a circumstance like at a rock concert or something where somebody is playing music with a driving rhythm or a very rhythmic beat to it, you find yourself tapping your toe or chewing or talking or breathing in rhythm to that. We have a natural tendency to synchronize to rhythms. The brain does exactly the same thing. If it perceives a frequency or a sound that is at a natural brainwave frequency, the brain will synchronize itself to that frequency. Well, so if you want to go into an altered state of consciousness, the way to do that would be to listen to a frequency pattern that mimics the altered state that you want to go into. That's the basis of Monroe Institute's HemiSync. The problem is that brainwave frequencies are pretty much below the level of human hearing, except for the normal awake alert state, what's called the beta state. All the trance frequencies, all the meditation frequencies are well below human hearing, so you can't just listen to it on a pair of headphones. The technology that makes listening to it possible is called binaural beats, and again, if you imagine that you have a set of headphones on, if you listen to, say, a 100 cycle per second tone in one ear, say your left ear, and in your right ear you listen to 104 cycles per second, what the brain perceives isn't the 100 or the 104, it perceives the beat frequency. That's the difference between the two. So it basically hears a 4 cycle per second sound, which is way below what human hearing could normally hear, and does correspond to a natural brainwave frequency. So that's what TMI does. It uses sounds, slightly different sounds in each ear, which is why you have to listen to it with headphones for maximum effect. They put together complex frequency patterns that correspond to specific types of altered states of consciousness. You listen to them. It's a low-level hiss. It's a noise. It's called pink noise. It sounds a little bit like shh, like somebody's just got a slightly noisy sound. And within 10 minutes, whether you've ever meditated in your life, your brain will have synchronized with that frequency pattern, and you will be in an altered state of consciousness. And that can be demonstrated with electroencephalographs. They've demonstrated it many times.
So here we are, and we're talking about science here. This isn't woo-woo, but it is science. And I'm so grateful that this technology has evolved, because for 40 years I've been very much involved with the work of the mind, and it has been my joy to share with people that this is not something to be feared. And there's so much ignorance and so much superstition associated with, and fear, which comes, that's the trio, ignorance, superstition, and fear, that keeps a lot of people from understanding that this is a part of our survival kit. This is natural. It belongs to us. And today we have scientific support for this. And even though governments for I don't know how many years have been working with this with people on the side, saying, well, we only have a few, but there's so much investigation that has gone on with this, both in Europe, here, in different parts of the world. Cultures historically have always honored people that had these talents and abilities and wanted to rely on them. Now, here you are. Your life has totally flipped around. You have such a scientific background. You're aware of how the brain works. You've discovered this capability. What occurred next? What were you able then to decide upon? Your life flipped. I mean, in 6 days, you've done this phenomenal flip. Where did you go after you made that flip? What was the change in your life that evolved?
I think there was a dramatic change, and it covers all aspects. For one thing, I've discovered that I can do virtually any psychic talent, ranging from psychokinesis. I mean, I teach people how to do spoon bending all the time in workshops. There's no psychic talent that I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not equally good at all of them, and some of them require a lot of practice, sometimes a lot more practice than I'm willing to indulge in. But I realized that if I can go from literally a psychic zero, knowing absolutely no abilities whatsoever, to being able to do virtually any psychic talent out there, then so can everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a unique thing. Everybody can do this. And in fact, if you look at the research in, for example, remote viewing, virtually everybody can learn to remote view. The only people who appear to be an exception to that are those who have an eidetic or photographic memory, and no one really knows quite why they do not appear to be able to remote view. I mentioned I teach spoon bending.
Mm-hmm.
Every workshop I include a session on spoon bending because it's fun, people love it. But the reason I include it in workshops is because it is a profound and very powerful graphic example of using subtle energies to change physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when I teach spoon bending, 85 to 90% of the people get it right the first time. And so they walk away with a spoon, or I like to use forks actually, but forks that are twisted into shapes of animals and gazelles and birds and dragons. They're just phenomenal examples, and people can do this. Everybody can spoon bend. Everybody can remote view. Everybody can do all of these things. These are not, you don't have to be born special.
I agree.
Everybody can do it. And that realization led me to understand that these are normal human capabilities. Some of them are normal animal capabilities, because I connect with animals quite easily. And that means that there are functions of mind and reality that science has not been willing to address. So that started me on my attempt to reconcile science and parascience, to realize that the paranormal really belongs under normal, but we just haven't figured out how to explain it yet.
Well, it's so nice to hear you say that, because I've been saying that for so many years. And to me, when we can take it out of the mystical, and part of this has evolved over centuries because people, when they became aware of these capabilities, wanted to dominate someone else, wanted to exert a power, wanted to have the state of exclusivity saying you cannot do this. And I've always told people this belongs to everyone. It is not an either or, you're entitled, you're not. It is out there. It belongs to everyone. And it's such a delight to have someone like yourself publish this book, Suddenly Psychic, who's gone from the severe, very much in the box, if you can't hold it in your hand, it doesn't work, positioning, which we often describe as left brain, to just be flipped over in 6 days into this awareness, this physical demonstration for you, and you go, uh-oh, everything I've learned, I'm finding it doesn't have a reality, because you have gone through extensive training now. Not only are you a teacher, but you constantly will be exploring, which is what a good teacher always does anyway, because that's what you want to pass on to other people. But you have a title of one of your chapters saying, Tangled in Time, and in your book you said, everything I thought I had learned in physics was fundamentally wrong.
Yes.
That is tough. That
yes.
is that's really, really tough to toss out everything that you felt was gospel.
Absolutely. And in fact, it was dramatically wrong because, just as an example, one of the fundamental presumption on which all of science is based is that we live, that causality exists. That is, something happens and something, that event causes something else to happen. That causes come before effects, effects don't come before causes. The problem is that in one of the experiences that I talk about in the book, I very clearly went back in time and changed something and had the result of that happen. Specifically, I did a healing on someone. The person reported the impact of the healing in April, but I didn't actually do the healing until the following December. So if my healing was a cause of her feeling the effect, and it was a very specific effect, it was not a random I got better, it was very specific to what I had specifically done during my healing. So if I can do the cause and have that happen 8 months after the effect, what happened to cause and effect? What happened to causality?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to time?
Mm-hmm.
Time, I've concluded, is a cultural myth. It does not exist. It is an illusion that we make up. And that is very difficult to get your head around.
I'm going to just, I know we're almost out of time, Maureen, and I do want to give out your website, which is maureencaudill.net. maureencaudill.net. One of the closing statements that you make in your book is a response to a question someone posed to you. How should I live my life today? And your response was, love joyously each day, love generously with your heart, mind, body, and soul. Love courageously, not counting the cost. Live in love. And with all of your experiences, with everything that shifted and changed for you, I think those are very powerful words to close our interview with. And again, I want my listeners to know about your website, Maureen Caudill, MaureenCaudill, a woman who is a technology nerd who's written a book called Suddenly Psychic, A Skeptic's Journey. This is fabulous reading, informative reading. You'll be able to come out of the dark ages regarding intuition and the psychic self if it's something you've been intimidated by. Maureen, we have about 35 seconds here. Is there a thought you'd like to leave my listeners with before we close?
I think that the key thing is to understand that if I can do it, so can you.
Absolutely.
I concur.
Maureen, it's been a delight having you as a guest, and I wish you the best in your continuing journey of experience, growth, and development with your talents and your teaching. I think it's absolutely wonderful. Again, her website is Maureen Caudill, MaureenCaudill.net. We're going to be ready to take a break. Thanks, Maureen, for being with me today, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment, so don't you go away. And again, let me give out her name of her book, Suddenly Psychic, A Skeptic's Journey, and it is published by Hampton Roads, and you'll find it at all your major bookstores. Suddenly Psychic, Maureen Caudill, her website, maureencaudill.net. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I am so delighted that we are able to now open up the telephone lines. And again, all you need to do, if you want to get in touch with Maureen, I found out when just before we came back from break that she's going to be teaching a seminar, a weekend program back on the East Coast. So if you'd like more information on it, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. And of course, you could always go to her website, Maureen Caudill. And that's C-A-U-D-I-L-L. I mispronounced her name. It's Caudill. I said Cahill. It's Caudill. And go there, .net, and you will be able to get all the information that you want. Meanwhile, phone lines are now open, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For those of you in Canada, you can give me a buzz at 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And we also have another direct line of 530-876-3222. I've had people say, gee, Donna, why do you have other psychics on your show? You're the psychic. Why shouldn't it just be about you? I think one of the greatest mistakes anyone can make, and I wouldn't care what the profession would be, is if you seem to think you're the only one that has all of the information and has all the knowledge. That would be totally stupid of me. I can share with you my skill and my expertise, which I've worked with for close to 40 years, and I'm delighted to do that. However, it is wonderful to know about other people, their experiences, what they've gone through. One of the things that I learned many, many years ago, and that's why I said what I said to Maureen, is that when you're a good teacher, you always want your students to surpass you. Why? Because they will have the opportunity to explore new venues and opportunities that you may not be able to do yourself. And how utterly dull and uninteresting this life is if we don't open ourselves up to what other people are doing. That's what communication, education should be all about, sharing. One of the reasons that in today's world we have been able to move forward in so many areas of industry, whether it is medicine, education, so many different venues, so effectively and well, is that we've got so many people who are thinking, who are able to dedicate the time, the effort, and the energy into exploration and expansion of thought. This is so important to understand. And when you have children that you're raising, if you're a young parent, I was at a baby shower just a short time ago, and I was around all of these young women, and their issues that they're facing are not unlike the issues that I faced when I was a single mom, but their world is greatly different from the world that I was in because certain things have expanded that have created bigger problems for them than they were maybe for myself as a single mom. But on the other hand, there's always a balancing act. Every generation has its challenges. You look at history, you'll find that. So when we can have education, when we can encourage children to get into science and into math. Now, Maureen had a lot of the things that she learned tossed out the window, but I'll tell you something. Without Maureen's education, she would not be able to effectively articulate an explanation of what she went through. She wouldn't be able to do it. She would have felt that she was tongue-tied. So her scientific training, in one respect, she expanded way beyond. But she was able to use that language so that when she's talking with people on different levels of education, she can communicate with them. When you are encouraging a child to learn, I would say encourage yourself at the same time. Wherever you are, whoever you are, open up your mind. Be willing to learn. Be willing to explore. It's exciting. It's wonderful. Oh, I know there's a lot of goofballs out there in the world. There have always been the goofballs in the world. There have always been the idiots. There have always been the cons. But when you do not educate yourself, when you do not stretch yourself into new environments, into new levels of learning, how can you possibly be even ready for growth? There is a very fine man that I knew, Reverend Humboldt, and I'll never forget when I met him. He had been raised on a farm in Illinois. They didn't even have electricity when he was growing up. He was in his middle 60s when I met him, and at the time I was in my 20s. And this was a man, I just loved him dearly. And I cherish my interaction with this very fine human being. Because this man always believed in education. And he would say to people, read. Be willing to listen to things you don't know anything about. Be willing to expand yourself. Because if you want spirit to speak through you, and you want to be understood, you've got to learn how to think. You have to educate yourself. And that's one of the biggest fallacies that people have. They seem to think that you can't be especially intelligent or well-educated and have the psychic ability. Well, Maureen is absolutely the proof that you can be. You don't have to be locked into paradigms that other people make for you. You are an individual. Don't ever be afraid to explore who you are. If nothing else, through listening to this program, if I can inspire you to pick up a book, to read, to question, to examine, to argue, to be able to say, what if? Thank you. Let me know about it, because I want to know that you are investing in yourself. People are blown away when they find I read 400 to 600 books a year. I read them, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a guest on this show unless I read it. I will tell you what, my world has expanded. My world has expanded in the 6 years that I've been doing this radio programming, and I am so grateful for it. There are times my hackle gets up because I'm just appalled at ignorance that's out there. But how do you dispel ignorance? Only with understanding and education, and by the elimination of fear. And that is why I love to do what I do. And I hope that you will take pride and joy in who you are as people and understand, no matter what life is dished out to you, you're not stuck with the lesson. You learn the lesson and you move on. because there's too much in life not to be able to reach for. Let me just share a little bit here. There's no failure except when you no longer try. There's no failure unless you just totally decide that you're going to give up. The word try is a boring word. There's no failure unless you refuse to invest in yourself. Let me just give you some examples of some people that have really made a difference in the world. They're recognized in history. You'll know who they are. But they didn't have a piece of cake in life. In 1902, there was a young writer. Oh, he just desired to be very, very good at what he did. He received a rejection letter from the poetry editor of the Atlantic Monthly, enclosed with the sheaf of poems this 28-year-old poet had sent was this rather abrupt note. Our magazine has no room for your vigorous verse. Well, he said, the heck with you. Just because you don't see what I see doesn't mean I'm going to buy into your attitude. And you know, he went on to become world famous. His name? Robert Frost. In 1905, the University of Bern turned out a Ph.D. dissertation as being fanciful and irrelevant. Now, the young physics student who wrote the dissertation rejected their rejection, and he went on to develop some of his, well, fanciful ideas. We talk about him today. His name, Albert Einstein. And in 1894, a 16-year-old found a note from his rhetoric teacher at Harlow in England attached to his report card, a conspicuous lack of success. Teacher making that statement. This young man said, mm-mm. He went on to become one of the most famous speakers in the world and acknowledged and revered in history for his courage, for the power of his rhetoric. Who was that man? Winston Churchill. Anybody is entitled to their opinion, but you are entitled to know yourself and believe who you are and know that who you are and what you have to offer really does make a difference. I believe in you, and I want to hear your story. I want to hear about you. I want to know that you have accomplished something and that you're going to say, Donna, you'd be proud of me. This is what I've done today. Believe me, you make a difference. Every single person on this planet makes a difference. But it's up to you to decide on how you want to make that difference. You can sit in a pity pot. You can wail and moan about how life is so unfair and that, you know, oh, everybody else has it so much better than me. You can be critical of other people. Or instead, you can invest in yourself. You can really like yourself as a person and say, you know, I've got talent. Focus on your strengths. Look at what you really love to do. And when you find it, you give it every bit of what you have, regardless of what it takes to make it happen. You're worth it. And when you do that, then you can be an example for others. You can say, if I did it, you can do it. And it doesn't have to be your way either. Maureen found it her way. I've had to find things my way. And you're going to have to find things your way. But I'll tell you what, in many dark moments of my life, there are people like Winston Churchill whose words and whose rhetoric made a difference to me. And there are people I meet today whose lives, I'm telling you, they are powerful experiences. Sometimes they've been tragically powerful. But yet they've overcome that. And they've gone on to make a difference in life. And that is the power of the individual. That is the power of self. When you apply it to education, when you apply it to making life what you really want to make it in the right way, you're a light so bright, people are going to have to wear sunglasses, super thick and super dark, because you'll just glow. They'll want to know how you do it. Be sure you tell them. Because nobody can ever take away what you have. Nobody. It's yours. You're that unique something that the universe has created and says, I want you to make a difference. And you do. Talking about making a difference, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment. And when we come back, I want to share with you a discovery a medical discovery that has come about, well, because of war. And we're going to find out what that is. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. By the way, before I share this information I said I was going to share with you, I want to let you know who's coming up next week. Well, as you know, Monday is going to be President's Day. Well, we are going to be talking about a president. But it's not anybody I think that maybe you know too much about. The title of the book is The Avenger Takes His Place. I'm just going to let you chew on that one a little bit. You'll have to find out who this presidential Avenger is. Howard Means is going to be my guest on Monday. Then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking with John Bridges, and it's for you guys. Yes, gentlemen and ladies, you're going to want to get this book because it's all about etiquette for men. Gentlemen, get dressed up. Then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking with Richard Smith. He's a real estate specialist. We're going to be talking about various aspects of real estate. Then Eudora Welty is a woman that won prizes in writing from the time she was in elementary school. Phenomenally talented woman. We're going to hear about this great, great writer from Suzanne Mars, who was a particular fan of hers when she was in college and then found out the story of this remarkable woman's life. And then we're going to be talking next Friday about Over Here, the GI Bill. Ed Hume is going to be my guest. Very few of us today really understand how important that GI Bill was. So we're going to be talking about a bit of American history, and we've just got so many dynamic guests that are going to be coming up. We're going to have John Holland, the psychic, on, and then we're also going to be talking with John Curtis about the business of love, and then Dan Lear, the 10-minute coach. We've got such neat people as guests. You're not going to want to miss any of this, so be sure and tell your friends about it. And by the way, the shows are archived now, so if you miss a show, you can always go in and listen to it, and the shows are now up within 48 hours. So this is something that's very, very positive. It's a fabulous change. The staff at BBS Radio have worked very, very hard for this. Also, if you've enjoyed programming, if you have any questions or comments, won't you send us a line? There is a comment button on the website of BBS Radio. Go in, put in your comments about the programming, what you like, what you don't like, and we want to hear from you because what you say makes a difference to us. So we look forward to having you respond in kind like that. And also, I want to mention for you, those of you in the state of Washington, I'm going to be doing an appearance March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. I'm going to be at the Northwest Women's Show, and this is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday public phenomena that is absolutely awesome. I mean, girls, you've just got to get it together. Ladies, girls, I don't care what your age is, come along. It is absolutely awesome. We have all kinds of goodies. I'm going to be doing a program there. I'll have a booth 406 where you can come by, say hello. I will be available for counseling. I'll have some books from some of the authors that I've featured on the shows. And so there's just all kinds of good things we're going to have there. But I'll be doing a free program for people each of the days of the Northwest Women's Show, and that's in downtown Seattle at Quest Field. And we'll be giving you more information as we get closer and closer, so you're not going to want to miss any of that. Okay. You know, I was talking a moment ago about people being able to pull things together. It takes a willingness to examine, to explore. Well, this is some medical information that I think you will find interesting. Since war began, the major killer of soldiers on the battlefield has been severe bleeding. And even today, in Iraq and Afghanistan, there's many of our soldiers, men and women both, who end up dying because they're bleeding to death in minutes before they can be evacuated to an aid station. However, there is something that has been developed that will enable that negative side to decline with an innovative dressing called the HemCon Bandage, and that's spelled HemCon Bandage. Now, it's made with chitosan. It's C-H-I-T-O-S-A-N. This is an organic substance from shrimp shells that helps blood cells form clots. Now, a 4-inch square dressing of the HemCon Bandage can staunch a heavily gushing wound in 30 seconds and has been shown to stop or reduce bleeding in more than 90% of combat cases. That is phenomenal. And there's a Colonel Robert Van Der said, it acts like a tire patch. Now, he is the U.S. Army's Director of Combat Casualty Care Research at Fort Detrick in Maryland. And he said, it doesn't get sticky until it gets into the presence of blood, and then it adheres to the surrounding tissue and seals off the blood like no other conventional bandage. Now, this was developed by scientists at the Oregon Medical Laser Center under a grant from the U.S. Army Medical Research and Material Command. Now, the HemCon got its name as an abbreviation for hemorrhage control. Bandage works because the positively charged chitosan material bonds with negatively charged blood cells to form an artificial clot. Now, when they first demonstrated its effectiveness in 2002, the FDA gave it a fast-track approval just in days. And since then, the Army has made the $85 bandage standard issue for all American soldiers serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the military reports credit the bandage with already saving more than 100 lives. Now, in 2006, the manufacturer, who is based in Portland, HemCon Medical Technologies, began marketing the bandage to civilian medical personnel, including ambulance drivers and emergency room doctors. Phenomenal. Again, when people can, with education, with imagination, bring themselves together, they can make a big difference. That's exciting stuff to me. This is something that would help in surgeries in so many different environments, and all made from basically an organic substance from shrimp shells to help blood cells form clots. Amazing things. There's the old saying, necessity is the mother of invention, and that is so often true. And isn't it great that people are wanting to do that? I think it's fabulous. Well, I know that we're out of time just about, and I again want to remind you that we've got a great lineup of guests next week. And for those of you that are going to be having the holiday off, tune in anyway, because I think you'll be fascinated with some information. If you got kids that are interested in history or in school, this is something they might want to know about. A president that is very rarely mentioned in common conversation, and lots of other people next week as well. Also, I have had some inquiries. Some people have wanted to know if they could make some private appointments with me. Absolutely, I'm available for private consultations. Just call my office, 800-872-8852. Well, I'm not able to share a recipe or anything extra with you now because we're out of time, but do remember this. Wherever you are, never forget, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. When you can recognize that the universe doesn't put limits on you, only you do that yourself. Hey, You've conquered 50% of the challenge. This is Donna Siebel. Have an absolutely awesome and fabulous weekend. We'll be back with you bright and sassy on Monday, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.